Chapter 7. The Trial. The trial began at 11 o'clock in the morning. As I sat in court waiting for it to start, I was in a terrible state. I could not bear to think that the monster I created might cause Justine's death as well as my brother's. When Justine came into court, she appeared quite calm. She was dressed as if for a funeral and looked very serious. But beautiful. She looked over to where we were sitting and smiled at us sadly, but affectionately. At first, many witnesses were called. Several strange facts combined against Justine to prove that she was guilty. She had been out the whole of the night on which the murder had been committed. The next morning, she was seen by a woman not far from the place where William had been found. The woman asked her what she was doing there, but Justine gave a very confused answer. She returned to the house at 8 o'clock and said that she had spent the night looking for William. She asked if he was safe, and when she was shown the body, she became hysterical and had to stay in bed for several days. Then the picture and chain found in Justine's pocket were produced. Elizabeth was asked if the picture was the one that William had been wearing, and when she said that it was, the people in court shouted out in horror and anger. Justine was called to defend herself. Through her tears, she told them what she remembered. She had spent the evening at an aunt's house in a village not far from Geneva. As she was returning home about 9 o'clock, she met a man who asked her if she had seen the lost boy. She was alarmed by the news and spent the next few hours looking for him. By then, the gates of Geneva were shut, and so she spent the night in a barn. When she woke up the next morning, she found William's gold chain and the picture lying next to her in the straw. She had no idea how it came to be there. Elizabeth then spoke of Justine's good character and told the court that she had known Justine for many years and could not believe that she had committed such a terrible crime. But it did no good. I could see from the faces of the judges and the people in the court that they had already decided that Justine was guilty. The next morning I returned to court and spoke to one of the officers. He told me that the judges had voted and Justine had been found guilty. She had even confessed and was to be put to death the next day. Justine asked to see Elizabeth, and I went with her. We went into the prison and saw Justine sitting on some straw. Her hands were chained together, and she was crying. When she saw Elizabeth, she cried even more and said, "Please do not believe that I am guilty. I only confessed so that God would forgive me and not send me to hell. And now I am a liar." "Do not worry," said Elizabeth. "I believe you, and I will go and tell the judges what you have just told me. I am sure they will believe me." But the judges refused to listen to Elizabeth. And the next day, Justine was hanged. How I suffered. Two innocent people had died because of me. My once happy home was a sad place now. I was full of despair and guilt. I could not sleep and I could not bear to be with other people. My father was worried by the change in me and tried to help me. But I did not want to be helped. We decided to leave Geneva and go to our house in the country at Bellerive. But there was to be no happiness there either. My father's health had been affected by the horror of the recent events, and Elizabeth was sad and despairing. Often, after the rest of the family had gone to bed, I took the boat and spent many hours on the lake. But I could not find peace. Every day I feared that the monster that I had created might commit a new crime. I finally decided that a trip to the mountains might help me to forget these terrible feelings. And so, 2 months after Justine's death, I set off for Chamonix and Mont Blanc.